the length or lack thereof of the sermon. There's a lot of things that can affect your emotional happiness, but what we're talking about when talking about biblical happiness is something much deeper. So we say God's people are happy people. I'm saying a truism, and the Bible uses words like blessedness and joyfulness to describe that kind of happiness. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." It's just hard for me to imagine an unhappy person in heaven. I just don't believe that it will be possible when we are in God's presence and surrounding God's presence. Psalm 144 says, "Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." It's Him who is the source of our eternal happiness. Now, our externals may change. We know they're going to change, but that shouldn't change our deeper joy and happiness. Philippians 4:4 is probably the best known New Testament one. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." It's the command in the New Testament, one of the few that I know that's actually repeated right there within the verse. I think it's important. It was important for first century Christians who were being persecuted, who were losing things that were important to them because of their faith in Christ. I think it's important for us today. When we see the world falling apart, you watch the news for about 13 seconds, and you can fall into a deep depression, can't you? But if you are grounded, not in the externals, but in the eternals, you still don't lose your joy. So, if we center our whole year, have been attempting to center ourselves on Jesus, of course, we already said Jesus was a joyful person. Luke 2:52 says this, "Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." So, if I break that down, that means Jesus grew as a human being and as God. He grew intellectually, physically, spiritually, and relationally. So, if we think of those four areas, let's apply happiness and joy to each of those four areas, and that's what we're going to do for the rest of our study tonight. In the intellectual area of life, first of all, happy people are thoughtful. They're mindful, not just of themselves. They're mindful of God, and they're mindful of other people. Proverbs, here's our first proverb of tonight. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. "Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Some of the happiest people I know are people who are thoughtful about the word. And I don't just mean they're paying attention to the sermon. I mean they're thoughtful about the word throughout their lives. They're up early in the morning reading their Bibles, but not just reading to check off a list. They're thinking about the word, and they're letting it sink deep into their hearts. And the Proverbs says, if you give thought to the word, you'll discover good. And I know that that's true, because that happens to me every week. Nearly without fail within my study, I'll discover a nugget that I hadn't really ever thought about before. And God's word is a well that continually pours out. And if you'll give thought to the word, you'll discover good. And that's going to come from the fact, the second part, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Again, externals are going to change, but the eternals don't. And when your trust is in him, the eternal's in a constant position. Happy people are intentional about the inputs. They're not just thoughtful about the word. They're very intentional about the things that they let go into their mind and into their heart. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30, just one chapter earlier. Chapter 15, verse 30, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Good news refreshes the bones." Some of the happiest people I know treat their mind like that giant vault in your bank or at your credit union. You know, when you walk into the lobby, I know it's rare to do in-person transactions, but remember the last time you did it or the next time you do it, when you walk into the bank, at least at my credit union, there's a giant vault in there, and doors always open, and I always think about, it's all the safety deposit boxes, of course, and I always think about, what's the value of everything in there? Well, they protect that vault heavily. I mean, all those boxes have dual locks, and of course the door is very thick and the walls are too. Lots of alarms and things. They guard that. Why? Because there's high, high value there. Well, wise people are like that with their heart. They don't just let anything or anyone in into their thoughts. Think about this. I don't know what your daily habit is. For a long time, one of my first things that I did was I read the news. I have a Twitter feed. Sometimes I'd read it that way. Sometimes I'd check my news app. But I figured out something that it was. Most days when I would come in, I was just in the wrong attitude. I was in the wrong spirit, wrong frame of mind to begin the day. And I began to connect that the fact that one of the first things that I did as part of my morning routine was read and listen to the news of the world. And the news of the world is all based in bad news. In fact, there's kind of a favoritism, you know, toward bad news. Bad news. If it bleeds, it leads, right? They know that the worse it is, the more people are going to pay attention to that. Headlines like "everything's going great" don't really get a lot of clicks. But when, you know, the eclipse is coming, and you better be careful because the world's going to come undone, and here's the things that could possibly happen, I better click on that. So if you open your phone or however you get your news, and the first thing in the morning, as your brain begins to attack the day, you begin to fill it with wars and murders and shootings and crime and stuff at the border and economic news and inflation and enemies of the world. We're all at DEFCON 1 and the economy's terrible and all the negative news of the world. You have filled now your mind with bad news. And why would it surprise you that you are in a bad mood all the time, that you seem to have lost your joy? Because you just opened up your phone and just the first thing that appeared, you just let on in. Wise people, happy people treat their brain and their heart like that vault. They protect it. They guard it. Now, it doesn't mean we're not aware of things, but we're intentional about the inputs. Late Zig Ziglar was an inspirational speaker and so forth, but he had a line I always liked. He said, "I always get up in the morning and I read my Bible, and then I read the newspaper, and that way I know what both sides are up to." That's a pretty good way to say it. You know, we remember when we think about the Word, the eternal promises of God, and then we see the news of the day and we realize that there's still evil in the world and it's still up to work as well. So, happy people are intentional about the inputs. Happy people pursue God's wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 13 through 15. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Just a few verses down in chapter 3, verse 18. Says she, you know, she's referring to wisdom here. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Famously, Solomon was the one who had the opportunity to ask God for anything, and he asked God for his wisdom. God blessed him with that. And in the pursuit of wisdom, he gained all of the blessings of God. Now, Solomon was not a perfect man. He certainly made some very unwise and ungodly decisions as you study the character of Solomon. But in this regard, Solomon absolutely did the right thing. There is no better pursuit than the pursuit of wisdom. And some of the happiest people I know are people who are always in pursuit of wisdom. People who read all the time. People who are asking good questions, people who lean in during the sermon, they are pursuing continually. They never have this hubris that, well, I I'm the preacher. I don't need to study. I'm a teacher. I know these things already. They have an attitude that is always able to learn. No matter how intelligent they are, no matter how much they've taught, they're always pursuing God's wisdom. And they're always in pursuit of God's truth. All right, so there's the intellectual. Happy people are thoughtful. Happy people are intentional about the inputs. They are always in pursuit of God's wisdom. Secondly, we have the physical area of our lives. And we're going to talk a little bit about this on the emotion and how it affects us. First, happiness is a choice. You may have seen the phrase, and it's just two simple words, choose joy. And that really is true. Now, people are happy because they've made the decision to be so. It's attributed to Abraham Lincoln, but every quote on the internet is attributed to Abraham Lincoln. So forgive me if I get this wrong. But the quote goes, most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. And regardless of whether Abraham Lincoln said or not, that is true. I have known some people who have been through hell in their lives, and they still choose joy. They're still able to choose an attitude of gratitude and happiness. And I know people who've been given every blessing you can imagine who are some of the most miserable, bitter people you would ever hate to meet. And you think, how can that be? Well, because they've chosen not to be. Happiness is a choice that we all get to make. If you're in your Bibles, Proverbs 15, verse 15 says this, all the days of the afflicted are evil. And there are some people that are just continually afflicted. There's always a reason to look on the downside. There's always a reason to complain. Yeah, there's always a reason to be Eeyore. The world's always coming to an end. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. Some people are just intentional about that choice every day. Late brother Wayne Williams used to be an elder here at Northside, and I didn't really know Wayne as an elder, but I knew Wayne. Uncle Wayne is what we called him, a nice nickname. Uncle Wayne was really the one most responsible for bringing Know Your Bible to Northside. His attitude was persistently pessimistic. He saw good, he sought good, and he sought to bring good wherever he was. My experience with him was, you know, when he would call, not when he was an elder, but just to call to check in, when he was living in Shelnau, Missouri. And he would call, and he was just the most positive and hopeful person that I had the privilege of talking to. It didn't matter what kind of day Wayne had. It didn't matter what problems he was dealing with that week. He chose happy. When he was moved back to Wichita to be closer to his kids toward the end of his life, and he was out at the waterfront for a little while in rehab. And even though he was going through physical challenges and health challenges as he neared 100 years old, his attitude was just as positive and just as hopeful as it was when I would talk to him here on the phone, and I'm sure as he was when he was a shepherd here at Northside. It was his positivity, his attitude, his joy that made a difference in so many things for the type of person he was and the type of life that he lived. No matter what he was going through, he made the choice to be happy. In fact, he met with a woman, her name was, I think it was Barbara Glanz, I don't remember exactly how they met. They were good friends, and Barbara was so impressed with Wayne's joy that she encouraged him to write a book. He did. And each chapter is a section about his family or people or things that happened in his life but you never get the sense that he was a victim. As you read through this short little book, it's a continual choice in joy and happiness. In fact, that's the name of the book. I Choose Happy. Well, I think that's part of because of his hope and his faith in Jesus Christ. And you may not be to that level of positivity and joy, but you still have the same choice that Wayne had. And I hope that you'll make that. A very simple lesson is, if you're happy, remember to tell your face. Carl was asking about the topic tonight. He was going to pick some songs, and you know, I was sitting on the front row, but I was trying to kind of look back and see, how'd you sing, if the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in him who leads the way. He is keeping your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Now, I know that it is awkward for you as the audience for the preacher to sing to you. I just wanted to make the point that sometimes the way in which we sing tells us a lot about what we truly believe. And if you sing a song like that, if the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue, it reveals a lot about your heart. There's a reason that we have joy, and there's a reason that we're to speak joy, and there's a reason the scripture tells us to sing and be happy and to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So if you're happy, remember to tell your face. A smile's good for you, and it's good for others too. I can hardly think of a better example. I've got a couple of good examples. Carl, your wife is one of them. As you know, Heather is battling cancer right now, going through the hard things associated with that battle. Occasionally, she'll share a little update on Facebook. I'll scroll past, and I know she's going to share an update about cancer, but you wouldn't guess it from the way in which her disposition and demeanor is on video. Because though she's going through hard things, she's still chosen a deeper joy. Well, that's the way Christians should be. It is curious to the world how Christians can go through such terrible circumstances and still rejoice. How was it that Paul and Silas were able to sing hymns at midnight after arguably one of the worst days of their missionary life? How? Because they had a deeper joy and they chose that. Happiness, or lack of it, by the way, affects you physically. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. One of the ones that I knew or was thoughtful of off the top of my head. A joyful heart is good medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now that is really true. There is something to the strength and the power of your mind. And I'm not telling you anything mystical here. I'm telling you that God gave your mind such power over your body that when you choose joy, when you choose positivity, when you choose a better outlook, something happens in that the rest of your body follows along. As you know, and I share this personal experience, you know, Christy has been and is still going through an incredible battle in her journey with cancer. And she has told me several times this truth. She said, I have learned that your mind is unimaginably powerful. And on this journey, she said, I have my down moments. I mean, some really down moments, which is perfectly natural. But I have learned that I cannot stay there, that I must not stay there, that I have to discipline my mind, take every thought captive to Christ, even in simple things like what kind of attitude I'm going to have. And so, she literally goes, she has an arsenal of tools to help her when she gets in those spots. She has a whole list that is simply called her happy music. It's all positive songs, a lot of them Christian-based, and it's designed to put her mind in the right frame of reference. She has a number of scriptures. She does a lot more scripture journaling. She has cards to encourage others who are going through their own battles. See, all those things are good. Those things are designed to help her make the choice to hold on to happiness, not based on the externals, but on the eternals. Your mind is very powerful, and it needs encouragement. It needs to hear good things. It needs to be encouraged with the hope of Scripture, and it needs to stop thinking about itself. Those are all choices. So, choosing happiness affects you physically. Your attitude makes a big difference in your health. I've known people who live very long lives. I don't know a lot of people who live long lives who have an unhealthy attitude. I'm not a doctor. I don't know the explanation of that, but just the truism that a joyful heart is good medicine. So, choose happy, tell your face, and remember, a joyful heart is good medicine. Third, we got the spiritual areas of our lives. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Happy people are reverent. Okay? Happy people have a holy fear of God within their hearts, and that leads to a blessed state. Okay? We're not talking fear in terms of sense of an anxious kind of fear. We're talking a fear of God that's a reverent kind of fear. Happy people trust in God no matter what. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Now, if you're paying attention, you know we've done that verse once already, but I wanted to come back because the emphasis of the first one was giving thought to the word. The emphasis on this one is, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3 says. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We only have to do that just one, two, or three times in your life. And when you realize that when you trust God, he's going to work it all out, that just changes your attitude about everything. Think about this. Whether you fly a lot or a little, hopefully you've flown at least one time, and you know there's a lot of anxiousness between the moment that you decide you're going to go somewhere and fly, and you have to buy the ticket and get it, you know, get the one you want and get it, try to hopefully you got it at the good price, and then you got to get to the airport, and then you got to decide what you're going to do about the car, whether you're going to park it and somebody's going to drop you off, and then you got to get to the airport, and then you got to, you know, go through that process, and then you got to let the United States government's give you a good work over there, and you got to go through, and you got to, you know, get rid of all the liquids and everything, and you got to go, and you got to find your gate, and you got to get there. Hopefully you've done all that in plenty of time, and you got some time, but you still got to wait, and you got to make sure that they have your place, and they haven't overbooked the flight, and then you finally, at last, you get to scan your ticket or scan your phone. You get on the, and there's that moment, and you're waiting, and you're on the jetway, and there's this moment when you step into a plane, you just step over, and now you're on the plane, and there is a moment where you can just breathe. Because now, no more decisions are in your hands. Your job is to find your seat, sit back, and trust the pilot. And that hopefully should free you from anxiety and fear. I guess it kind of depends on the pilot and how well the plane is made, but I digress. The same is true with us, you know. Just the point is that when you step on that plane, there's that moment at which you, all decisions that you've made, you get to stop making decisions. Now the decisions are in someone else's hands. Happy people live this way all the time because they do the best that they can, and then all the decisions past them are in God's hands. Boy, that frees up a lot of stress and anxiety. Third, happy people listen to God and keep His commands. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. Now, O sons, listen to wisdom. This is verse 32 of Proverbs 8. Hear, blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear my instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Okay? Wise people listen to God and keep God's commands in every area of their lives. And they're blessed in doing so. Probably, I don't know if he's the most famous Church of Christer, but he's right up there. You know, in our current age, Phil Robertson made the phrase happy, happy, happy sort of his trademark, if you will. And you know what? I think that pretty well describes how God's people ought to be. You say, well, Phil Robertson, I mean, that guy's a multimillionaire. He doesn't have to do anything, gets to hunt ducks all day long. Yeah, I'd be happy, happy, happy too. No, I think his happiness comes from a deeper place than his externals. His happiness started, I mean, a long time before he got rich and famous and all that. And if you ever watch Duck Commander, you see it. Okay? For Phil and his family, they serve the Lord. Their faith is in the words of his creator. His faith is in a God who's seen him through some unimaginable. I mean, if you've seen The Blind Side, you know what God has brought him through. The last scene of every episode of Duck Dynasty is his family gathered around a table saying a prayer in Jesus' name. Okay. Faith in God, a family who serves God, and a love and a reverence for God. Okay? Well, that's where happiness, you're going to find it. You're reverent, you trust God, you listen to God, and you keep His commands. You don't have to be Phil Robertson to have that kind of happiness. You can have it right in your own life and in your own heart, regardless of whether you get to duck hunt all day or not. Fourth area is relational, and this is the last one we'll close on this one. Happy people are hopeful people. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28, the hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Godly people are hopeful people. They know things eventually are going to work out. It may be decades away, but they know God will work it out. Godly people never give up hope. And it is their hope that impacts their life, the life of their families, and everybody who's in their circle is that kind of deeper hope. Happy people aren't just hopeful people. Happy people also share that hope. It's contagious. It is uncontainable in their lives. Two chapters over, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. We have the opportunity to share hope wherever we are, whether we're sitting next to somebody on a plane or we're working in the next cubicle or this our own family sitting around the table. We have the opportunity to share hope as God's people, and that's the way we should be. I think can hardly get to this subject and not think of my dear sister in Christ, Rose Shady. She's real good at that. We know she's hopeful and positive and outgoing and joyful here at church, but that's not just true here at church. She carries that with her to the school where she works. She makes an impact on her coworkers. She's brought some of them to church. Why do they want to come to church with Rose? I would imagine because they'd want some of the hopefulness and the encouragement and some of the positivity that Rose has. Well, that's how Christians are. We're hopeful. And that kind of hope should overflow in our lives and in our hearts. Hey, I want to encourage you, if you'd like a little more happiness, to stick around after the final amen for Yak and Snack. We're going to be meeting right across the hall in the multipurpose room. And I know the ladies have put together some good things. And I know that you'll be blessed more than just by the food, but by the fellowship and the encouragement that goes along with it. You've been sitting here tonight thinking, I wish I were a happier person. Well, here's your opportunity. Go and fellowship and choose happiness and be among God's people and be encouraged for the week that you have to come. So let's pray together and we'll use this prayer to bless our time together if you hope that you'll choose to stay. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful to you for every good and perfect gift which comes from your hand. We know that you are the author of life, the creator of life, and that at your hand are pleasures forevermore. Father, help us to have a deeper joy, to be more thoughtful about the happiness that we have and the way in which we share it. Help us to grow in our joy intellectually, physically, spiritually, relationally, in all manners, Father. May we, like your Son, grow in our joy. May we make the choice each day to have happiness in our hearts, not because of the externals, but based only on the eternals. Father, you are so good to us. You've given us every spiritual blessing in Christ, and for that, we are exceedingly grateful. To have an abundant life here on earth and forever in eternity. And that fills our hearts with joy. Thank you today, Father, for the opportunity to meet together as the church, to gather together to worship you and to encourage one another. Lord, you know the things that we'll face this week. Some of them will be good and some of them will be not good. May our joy be grounded in you and may our hope be continually be shared. Thank you, Father, for your love for us and your grace to us. We love you very much. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt you love us very much because of your Son, Christ Jesus. It's in his name that we humbly offer this prayer. Amen.